We want to look today and making a difference. And I've been thinking a lot about this. It's like, you know, there are so many people you run into, so many Christians, and they're so caught up in their in everything but the right thing. And it's like, golly, you know, we're caught up in politics and we're caught up in economy. And, you know, you can look at it and say, things are rough. Things are rough. I know that. And I'm not trying to minimize any of it. But, you know, we're not here to be all wrapped up in these things. We don't ignore them. And if you can have an impact, a positive impact for the Lord in any of these areas, please do it. Somebody here, run for office. Really, run for the Senate. Run for the House of Representatives. Run for the state. I'm serious. Consider it. If it's been on your mind, really pray hard about it and give it a whirl. It'd be nice to know somebody from here who became the president. And that we've learned it over a series of many presidents, you don't have to be smart. We've had enough of them out there to show you, you know, you don't have to be smart. So if you're thinking, I don't know, I don't have a big education, well, it doesn't make any difference. But you know what we need more than smart? Just honor and integrity. And that's what we need in Christianity. I worry about churches. I think there's a lot of churches, and where's the honor and integrity? Where's the making a difference? Instead of we just want to come and have fun, why aren't we making an impact everywhere we go and looking, seeking to make change for God in a great way, to impact people's lives to where they develop a hunger, a thirst for righteousness, for Christ? That's what we're here for. And anyway, I just put all these notes down and titled this, Make a Difference. You know, a positive difference in life everywhere you go, even if it's just talking to the person across an aisle, or in, you go to HEB or wherever it is, you do your stuff, or Walmart, you know, wherever your thing is, and you talk to people and make a positive influence. You show concern. You let them know that you noticed them that day. Find something about people, anything, you know, that's those are really neat-looking shoes you got on there. Where'd you get those? You know, I just noticed your smile. You're just smiling in here, you know. Do you always smile this way? You know, and you draw them in. You make people feel good. That's making a difference because, you know, for most people, life's just, you know, it's a big bummer. You know, they go do what they got to do. They come home and, I got lectured on the phone the other day by my sister. She's good at that, by the way. I hope she listens to all these messages and because I can pick on her. She said, you're too grim. She said, where's that happy stuff? You're always messing with me and picking on me and making jokes. And said, since you had all this surgery, you're too grim. And I said, well, I feel grim. Said, I haven't had many happy thoughts since I had all this stuff. And you know, but she got my attention. I thought, now, Tony, how are you going to make a difference if you walk around all grim? You know, and I let all that stuff get to me. And I did that myself. And we all do it, don't we? And I let the surgery and I let all the pains and struggles. And gosh, I've had to run back over at Brooke Army Hospital. I don't know how many times for stuff. And now I finally had to be lectured on that, hey, look, You've been rerouted. And the way the surgeon put it, I put new plumbing in you. And it's like, okay. And he said, but your nerves are still telling you that the old plumbing's there. So all this stuff you're feeling that you're panicking over is nerves. It's like when someone loses a limb or something, and years later they're trying to scratch that. They will swear that it's there. Your nerves are so used to it, and that's who you've been all those years. It's telling you it's there. And I was having a spasm in here where my gallbladder is. I thought, my gallbladder is spasming. And I had to be reminded, he took it out. You don't have one. Then what am I feeling? They call that what? Kind of something, the ghost, you know, the ghost response, ghost nerves. But anyway. And so she was right. It's like you've gotten real grim. You're checking yourself. Is anything falling out? You know, am I coming apart? And then, you know, the surgeon, you know, this last time, he said, I want you to get some resistance weights, resistance straps, you know, those straps, and start doing those. I want you to build back. I want you to get your muscle tone back. I said, I'm not going to tear anything. He said, if you haven't torn it by now, you won't tear it. And he said, don't worry, if you tear something, you'll know it. And I thought, well, that's a real attitude. Yeah. They'll haul you back over here and I'll fix you back up, so don't worry about it. But anyway, I wonder, and as we move into this message, I'm not just rambling, but I wonder how many of us are feeling ghost nerves, ghost impressions from things. God's made us a new creation in Christ, but I wonder how many of us are still feeling some things from the old nature that really aren't there anymore. I wonder if you're feeling aches and pains and hurts from stuff that shouldn't be there, you know, and you're listening to it. And it brings you down. It makes you grim. I visited with some folks this last week, and we had to talk about stuff from your past, you know, that the junk that you think you've dealt with, but it keeps causing a spasm in your heart and in your thoughts. And it gets in the way of your walk with God, and it makes you grim, and you let your mind relax, and you start thinking about what somebody said, what somebody did. Worst of all, we start thinking about what we wish we would have said or done to them, and we work out these scenarios, you know, and it's like, boy, if I ever run into them again, you just wait, you know. When we do that, and God's saying, how are you going to make a difference if that's what you're dwelling on? Because you're grieving my spirit. But that's human, and we all do it, and we have all these ghost nerves going on and all these things we feel. And God says, you're a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. So why in the world are we doing this stuff? And so what I want to give you is, let's move on. And I've had to tell some folks, you know, that we're going through a bunch of stuff. It's like, when are we going to move on? Or do you want to just keep living in your past and missing every opportunity each day offers? You don't even see it because you're looking back. You're saying, I'm never going to let this happen again. I'm not going to let anybody ever do to me what was done before and blah, blah, blah. Is that what you're going to focus on? And when you really get into the Christian life, Christianity's all a risk. Don't you see? Not a risk with God, but a risk in life. Christianity's for risk takers. You accept Jesus in your heart and he puts you on the firing line. You have to take a risk out there. You have to take a risk on loving and showing compassion and doing things that other people in the world don't do because you're Christ-centered. It's a risk. You're going to get some feedback that's negative. You're going to get, you know, rebuffed. Somebody's going to smack you, you know, verbally upside the head and tell you, I don't need that. We don't need that around here and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and we run and we get our feelings hurt. And it's like, yes, you do need that around here. And I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to risk you saying something ugly to me so that I can make a difference, because you're not making a difference. Ugly people don't make a difference. Beautiful people do. And everyone here that has Christ in their heart has a beautiful spirit. You have the beauty of the Lord in you. Just use it. So let me move into this. And I want to just talk about just making a difference, being a godly influence. And let's talk about kindness and compassion for a moment, because that's what's going to change things. And when she told me, you know, you're too grim, I began to realize, and of course, I was already looking at some of this, and it's like the Lord was used that to say, Tony, you let this bother you too much. You're too grim. You're too serious. You know, I've always been, you know, the serious side, but everybody knows, always playful and kidding around and doing stuff. And it's like, don't lose that. And I was thinking of Peter Pan, you know, you got to find your happy thought. You've lost your happy thought. You need to go to Never Never Land and learn to fly again. And sometimes that happens to us, folks. We get our feathers trimmed. We get knocked down. And we've got to learn to fly again. We're just crawling around and I had to admit to myself, I thought, you've never let age be a factor in your entire life. But I thought, what's making you so grim besides all you've gone through? I thought, for the first time in my life, I'm feeling older. And it's like, you're not older. You just have aches and pains and weird stuff that's not even real. And you're associating that with, I'm getting old. This has made me aged. And it's like, you don't have to buy into that. And neither do you. And so let's look at this kindness and compassion. And I want to give you out of James 5:11. This is a New International Version we're working out of a whole lot today. And it says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Now look at this. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Compassion and mercy. And I've related a little bit to Job. I haven't gone through everything he's gone through, but we all have at one time or another, and we've suffered some things. And I thought, golly, what used to be was lost to me in a lot of ways. And I had some, I've kind of mourned that and gone through that. And I thought, I've never had anything really bad happen to me, not real bad. And then, boom, seemed like the sky fell in. And God was saying, well, go back here and look at some old boys here that's gone through some stuff. Did Job deserve anything that happened to him? No. And I went through this. I was thinking, did I do something wrong, God? Did I step over the line, or did I not do something that you wanted me to do? And that worries me a lot, too. Did I not respond? Did I not obey you in something? And it kind of opened the door for this. And then he had to show me. And I'm sharing this because it's for all of us. You know, it's like we blame ourselves. We start looking for some excuse, some reason. And things just happen. We talked about this a few weeks ago. God is sovereign. He's everywhere all the time. He's all powerful. And it's like he could prevent anything. He can stop it. Same with Job, you know. And there was a thing with God and the devil. And the devil wanted to make Job curse God and all that. It's like, and so whatever was going on, Job gets stricken. He gets hit hard. And he suffers. And even his friends, his best friends, now watch this. Even his best friends begin to tell him that you messed up, you did this. Not one of them gave him good advice. You got to be careful when you're going through things who you listen to. Because people mean well, but it doesn't mean they know well. And not one of them gave him advice. And then his own wife comes and says, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, thank you very much, honey. Well, let's have some oatmeal and I'll do that, you know. And it's like, for crying out loud. You know? And so the man had to go through this struggle alone, seemingly alone. And then in the end, and God has to correct him. You need to read Job, you know, because it's good for us. It's good for everybody here that goes through stuff. What finally happened with him when God said, Job, were you with me when I made the earth and all this stuff? Did you put the boundaries for the sea? And no. And Job, paraphrasing, Job said, I just need to hush my mouth. And what did Job realize? He was a righteous man. He didn't bring this on himself. It just happened. For whatever known to God, God knew the reason, he didn't. And see, friends, we get all twisted around the axle, so to say, because things happen, people say and do stuff, and we just let it get to us, and we just boil over with all the resentment and all the anger and all the hurt. And in the end, what does it accomplish? What does it do for us or anybody around us? And so what finally happened after all this mess he went through, you remember the story? It says he was blessed more in the end than he was in the beginning. And he was blessed by the Lord for all that he went through. And that's where this scripture in James points that out. He said, you look at the end of this thing, and after all the man went through, that we see that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job never cursed God. He hung in there. It was bad. And he wasn't happy, and he was rather grim. But friends, you go through this stuff, and just what you have to do is stop looking at the beginning and look at the end. God's full, He is full of compassion and mercy, and this is going to turn out to His glory, regardless, whatever you're facing in life. And if you're going to make a difference out there, that's what you have to be telling people. Let's not dwell on what started this. Let's dwell on who can finish it. Let's dwell on who can bring the healing. Let's dwell on who can take care of this issue. You know, how it started, whatever you did, didn't do, they did, didn't do. That's not really what matters, and that's what we dwell on, and we lose our happy thoughts. We lose our joy. Instead, we need to look at the outcome of this thing is going to be glorifying to God, and I have been chosen to be an instrument of His to bring that about. That's the good stuff. If we could just see that God chooses us once in a while to go through stuff as an example to other people, as a witness, as a testimony, whatever it is. But somebody out there needed us to go through it. And we can resent it or we can accept it and say, out of your mercy and your kindness and compassion, God, your mercy, this is going to turn out to be a good thing. I'm going to learn things about you I never knew before. I'm going to walk through a path in the valley of the shadow of death, and I haven't been there like that. I'm going to come out on the other end. I'm going to find that you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That's what happens when you go through stuff. But you won't learn that. You won't experience it in its fullness if you're looking back and saying, what happened? Why me? Poor me. Why? I don't know why the roof fell in on me. Instead, you walk through the valley. You let Him take you by the hand. His rod and staff comforts you, and He brings you out. And you begin to see, God, you are a wonderful God. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm always scared of patience because I'm afraid of, you know, the rest of them. Okay, patience. If you pray for patience, how many of you have ever asked God to give you patience? Okay, did you go through anything? Often you will get a chance to really develop patience. And sometimes He'll just give it to you, but a lot of times you have to go through something. You pray for these things, and don't be afraid to do that. That's how we develop patience. We learn to wait on the Lord. We learn to wait for His timing and His goodness, His mercy and His compassion. So let me give you just a few insights on this thing, the kindness and compassion. What is compassion? It's the Christian virtue to do what? To feel what other people feel. When you boil it down, compassion in Christianity is the ability to weep with those that weep and to do what? Rejoice with those that rejoice. How can I feel what you're feeling if I've never gone through something similar to it? I realize that God has expanded my understanding of hurting people, people who have to be operated on, people who go through some pretty heavy things. It's like He's expanded my understanding. Now, I'm not going to be a pastor that just prays for that. And, you know, and yes, I cared. I've always cared. But now it's going to be, you know exactly what they're feeling, don't you, Tony? You know the fears in their heart. You know exactly. Every time they move, they feel something. Oh, I did that. I still do it. You know, I have to use pillows at night to, you know, I want to roll on my side. And it's not near as bad, but I have to push pillows up there. Because if not, I feel all these twinges all during the night, don't sleep well. Now I know what other people actually are experiencing. And see, as Christians, we don't want to go through things to help other people. We just wish God would just pour it out on us. But most often we're going to have to go through stuff. And you see, if you see what He's doing, you won't be mad at Him. You won't resent it. He's saying, I'm letting you feel this pain. I'm letting you go through this so I can take you out here. And I want you to sit down with others who are doing that and say, don't worry, you can go ahead and roll over. Push that pillow under there. It's okay to eat that. And you're going to feel this. And you're going to feel that. And all these weird little sensations. And what are you doing? You're making a difference for somebody. You're helping them in a way that a doctor, a medical staff is not going to help them. You know, they're going to give you all the medical stuff. But you can say, I've been there, done that. And what you're feeling, don't fear. It's going to be okay. The end is going to be great of this. You're going to come out of this, and what you're feeling is healing. I'm going to tell you one of the worst things I had outside of those quirky little things I felt was all that glue they glued me back up together with. I had all these cuts, you know, here, here, and there, and there. And that glue and all that started itching. And he warned me, said, that glue is going to start peeling off. Don't pull on it. Why did they say that? Because the first thing you want to do then, like a little kid, is pull on it. You know, I have struggled. I mean, my hand is like that. He said, don't pull the glue. And that's like, I want to pull the glue, and it's, you know, chunks of it hanging off, and it's itching. You pull in against your shirt and everything. It's, get this glue off of me. I even thought of getting a pair of scissors and just trimming the glue. And I thought, brilliant. That's what you need to do. Stab yourself. And then you go back to Brooke Army Hospital and get sewed up for that. So anyway, we go through these things. We experience some pain. We experience hardship. And by the way, we have to experience pain in relationships so that God can use us to sit down with people and say, I know what it's like when you have marital troubles. I know what it's like when you have trouble with your kids. I know nobody in here has had trouble with kids, but if you ever do, and anybody ever had any marital troubles and struggles, and you just get so frustrated you want to throw up your hands, and no, you're good. No, you're too young. You're too new. They're newlyweds. They don't count. You know, you fixed it good, didn't you? Okay. Well, I wasn't thinking about that end of it, but okay. You did. You took care of that. All right, good for you. And so I guess you can tell others, and if it gets bad enough, just finish it, okay? But we go through this stuff so we can sit down and help somebody else and say it's not the end of the world. You're going to live. And actually, you know, when people divorce and they have these things, they need someone to say, this is not the end. Don't get bitter. You're mad right now, but don't let it make you bitter, because there's still life. We're going to go on. God has a plan and purpose, and He doesn't change His mind because we go through some rough stuff. So compassion is that virtue, that Christian virtue to feel what other people feel. It's the ability to reach beyond yourself. Just keep this in mind. Compassion is that ability to reach beyond myself and get into your skin and to feel what you're feeling and walk with you a ways and help you. That makes a difference in your life. There's so few people doing that anymore. We have to reach out to others and say, I really feel with you. I know what you're going through. I'm not judging you for it. I'm not condemning you for it. God's not condemning you for it. We're here to love you through it. People make mistakes. Things happen. And it's not our place to judge them. It's our place to lead them to a place of victory, no matter what they're going through. Everybody with me? I struggle a lot, work with a lot of people trying to save marriage relationships, and it's hard. And I've looked back in my own life and say, all the things I've had to go through now, I'm able to use in relationships to help others, to say, oh, I've been there, and I said these things. Not a good idea. Let's talk about some how to use kindness and compassion in this relationship. The fulfillment, listen. Compassion is what you see on the cross when Jesus, He took up the cross and he carried it out there, and now he's nailed to it. You want to see compassion and love in someone's heart? How do you put up with everything Jesus put up with, and there He is on the cross? And what did He say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Folks, that's bothered me ever since I became a Christian and read that passage. I'm thinking, could you have done that, Tony? Really? Seriously? You're hanging up there barely clothed, if you got anything on, and your nails driven in your hands, your feet, and you're saying, forgive them? If you were in that place and had the power, what would you really be wanting? And my flesh would be screaming out, God send fire and brimstone down on these wicked people. Now, that's just my human nature. But there's another nature, a Christian nature, a spiritual nature that's saying, no, God forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. They don't realize they're killing the Son of God. They don't get it. They don't get it. That's what compassion does. When you look at someone and their nasty mouth, their foul mouth, they're saying a bunch of stuff, and you realize they don't get it. They don't get it. It's all they know is to cuss, raise all kinds of Cain out here in the world. They don't get it. And our place is to help people get it, to make a difference. Compassion is about commitment. It's to be continuously transformed by the Lord and then give ourselves daily to the love of God in Christ Jesus and say, use me today, God. Is there somebody hurting? Is there somebody just really out there that doesn't get it that you can use me to help today? And that's what this kindness and compassion is all about. Let's move on. I'd like to stay more on it, but we need to move. And so let's look at this next point. You know, merciful and humble. Humility. Mercy and humility go together. You know, I wanted to read this. These two guys that went up to pray. And this is Luke 18. And just think about this. These two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. We have many more tax collectors coming on the scene, by the way. So you're going to have to really practice love for these guys. But here they are. And here's one here. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. You just got to, you know, I don't know. And I've seen people do this. And you may have too. They didn't do it maybe in the same words, but they were sure bragging on themselves. Lord, thank you for using me to go out here and make a lot of money. I've heard that kind of prayer. And thank you for using me if that my new pickup. And thank you, God, for giving me all these things that I can help other people. And I'm thinking, so far, I'm not hearing you help anybody but brag on what you have. And that's what this guy was doing. He prayed about himself. God, I thank you I'm not like other men. Well, that's a real righteous guy, isn't it? Thank you, God, I'm not like everybody else around me. I'm better than they are. I'm not like these robbers and evildoers and adulterers or even like, and this is cold-blooded, or even like this tax collector. If you were the tax collector, what would you have been thinking? I mean, seriously. What would have gone through your mind? Thank you, God, that I'm not like you. I'm better than everybody here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Look at me. And that poor tax collector, it says that the tax collector stood at a distance and he would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast, he beat his chest here. And he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, who? The tax collector. Rather than the other, went home justified before God. And he closes this up. He teaches this parable, and he closes it up with this. He says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And friends, when it comes to showing mercy, the scripture says, blessed are the merciful, they'll be shown mercy. What's he talking about here in all of this? God's mercy reached out to the tax collector. You know why? What was the real difference? Did you realize here? And I wish I had time to really go in. I'll bring a message just specifically on this text one day because there's so many insights. The Pharisee couldn't see himself like he was. He was so caught up in works of righteousness, he could not see true righteousness that flows from the heart. The Pharisee's life is what was all about what's on the outside. And he wasn't in touch with the real person. But the tax collector, it says, stood at a distance. He couldn't even approach this thing. And he stood at a distance. And he beat his chest. Why? Because he felt so rotten about himself. And he, you know, these tax collectors ripped people off and they got to keep a portion of the money. If they could get extort more money, then they got to keep a little more for themselves. But look at this. This tax collector was in tune with himself, and he knew who he was. What did he recognize about himself? I'm a sinner. I know what I do, and I know who I am, and I'm not proud of it. And so that's what he prayed, and he said, God, have mercy on me, because I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, God had mercy on him. Whenever we're willing, see, to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek His mercy and be in touch that we're not so great that our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord, God pours His mercy into our lives. And that's exactly what we're out here to do, to help other people see, is that, hey, buddy, hey, ma'am, sir, whatever it is, I know you failed. I know you feel like you're about that high in the eyes of God. But you're willing to admit that. You see yourself like you really are, not like you want to be. And you admit it. And you confess it. And you have a God who loves nothing better than true confession. For us to look at our own hearts and say, I'm not cutting it. And I need you, God. I need you. I'm not worthy of you, but I need you. And when that happens, His mercy flows into our lives. Because we've humbled ourselves before the Lord. Mercy is that attitude that, it's the attitude that puts us in a place to say, except for God's grace, I would be doing the same things that all these other people are doing. That's what we all need to keep in perspective all the time. Except for God's grace, I would be out here doing everything else that everybody's doing, that we all despise that's going on in the world. It's only by the grace of God that we're not doing those things. Mercy and humility help me to see that. Mercy is the action we take in response to compassion. It's love and grace put into action. Mercy is being able to rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those who mourn once again. That makes a difference. It makes a difference because we don't feel superior. We're not arrogant. We just realize that we're sinners saved by grace. And that we're out here to do all that we can to help somebody have a better day, a happier life, by showing them that God loves them and helping them to see that it's not the end, regardless of what's happened. It's not the end. Life's not over. It's just begun. That's the hope we're here to give. And it comes through compassion, that kindness and compassion and being humble and merciful. And let me close with this, because it takes this to get out here and make a difference. I want to get up so bad I like walking around out here, and I know not to be doing that yet, but I just can't hardly stand it. I want to walk. Yeah. But He wants us to have boldness and courage. 1 Corinthians 16 says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Hebrews 3 says, but Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, and we are His house if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. You won't have all of that up there, but you need to hear it. And it says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous with what? Don't you see it? Be courageous and showing compassion. When I was in college, there was a guy, and I don't know what was wrong with him. He wasn't mentally off or anything, but bless his heart, he could just... You ever been around people who, if they were a walking accident and they were just klutzy? This guy could drop his books off a balcony over at the Learning Center. If anybody was going to hit a puddle of water and fall, it'd be him. And then, you know, everybody just looked at him as the clown on the campus. I feel sorry for him. And one night I walked out on one of the men's dorms, and I walked out on the, I just had to go outside. I could never stay closed up. And here come a bunch of these guys chasing this guy. And they were trying to make him hurt himself, and he did. He fell off this terrace and just rolled and rolled and rolled down to the bottom, and he's got grass stuck in his hair and his face and everything, and it was pitiful. And here they came, and they were jeering and laughing, and you know, and get up, you know, and they're good, you know, and they were just a bunch of bullies. And I don't know, you know, how the Lord will just come over you, and all of a sudden the Lord just put in my heart, and I walked off that banister, and I was looking down there, and here they came, and they were kind of rolling him and pushing him, and I just hollered at him, and I just yelled at him. I did. I said, "Hey!" And they all looked up, and I said, "I think you've had enough fun for tonight, and I think it's time to go home." And I thought, now you're fixing to get it. But you know, they stood there a minute and they left. And I went down there and sat beside him, and he had tears coming down his face. And we just sat, and I just let him cry. I didn't have a clue what to say to the guy. I thought he was a little bit weird too. But not so weird that he needed to be bullied. And I'm not lifting myself up or anything, but friends, sometimes we've got to put ourselves on the firing line and say, "I think it's time to go home. We've had enough fun for tonight." You don't have to cuss people and chew them out. If I'd have done that, I'd have gotten beaten up myself. I was 7 or 8 guys on him. Sometimes we just got to be able to speak boldly and raise a hand and say enough and take up for those who can't take care of themselves. We're here to make a difference. The outcome of that guy used to look for me on campus all the time. Almost became a pest. They found him a protector. But you know what else he found? A friend. And that's what we're here to do. Because that's what people need. So I'll close this up and say this. This boldness and courage, it comes from the conviction that God's Word is absolutely right. And it's time to just quit talking about it and live it every day. Boldness and courage is the absolute belief that God's Word is not only true, but it's the final authority. And it's acting upon that fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. And we need the courage and boldness to stand out there. There's pastors of big churches that do not have the courage and boldness to stand up and say, "Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him." I've seen some of them interviewed, and they will not take a stand that that's the only way. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. They're afraid that their popularity might go down. Well, I don't have a great big church, and I don't have a great big salary or any of that stuff, so I can have the attitude of who cares. Really, and that's the way we're all going to have to be. Who cares? It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about standing on the authority of His Word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And what He says is absolutely right. And it's the only right there is. Everything about Christ, everything that I look at it and see that He did on this earth and He still does is all about the courage to do it. He had the courage to face it. He had the courage to heal people when He knew the Pharisees were going to be after Him, trying to kill Him. It didn't stop Him. And it flowed. It was the courage to have compassion. It was the courage to be merciful and humble. And it just takes courage, boldness and courage to do what God put us here to do. The courage of compassion. The courage of mercy, the courage of and conviction that Jesus Christ is the only way and that He has the power to influence through you and me. He has the power to make a difference. And I just challenge you to get out here and make a difference. With people you don't even like, people you wouldn't even want to hang out with, make a difference. Be different. Not foolish. Not out of control, but a person who brings stability, solidness, sureness, and the power of God in the life situations. To make a difference, in life, it begins with letting Jesus Christ make a difference in me. I've got to let Him make a difference in me and change me if I'm going to be used of Him to help others change to God's glory. And I just jotted down in this last little remark, a prayer to pray, Lord, change me and make me different so I can go out and make a difference everywhere I go. Father, we love You. We thank You. You're a great and almighty God. You never give up. You never quit. In spite of ourselves and all of our failures and stumbling and bumbling around, You never walk away from us. You're here. You'll always be here, and no one can take us out of your hand. You said no one will never fall away. No one can take us away from You. And we're here to make such a difference. The difference You've made in us, we go and make a difference. And use us, God. Use us to Your greatness, to Your goodness. God, use us from this moment on as we walk out of this place today to make a difference. To have that as our goal and objective every day of our lives. Because You're sure making a difference in us. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord. Amen. God bless you all for being here this morning.